Hey there, everyone. My name is Megan Ranson, and I am your host for today's podcast, in which I'm talking about your communications manual. Now, I know the word manual doesn't exactly strike the most exciting chord, but listen, if you sit in the role of communications director and you have a communications manual, then you already know just how helpful and freeing a manual can be. And if you are a communications director and you don't have a communications manual, then lend me your ears for the next 10 minutes or so and let's talk about it. By the end, I'm sure that you'll be convinced that you absolutely need one and you'll know exactly how to make it happen. Okay, first, what even is a communications manual? So I would define it as the guidelines and processes for ensuring the most effective, both time and physical, communication for your church. Now, I want to dig a little deeper into what content could look like, but first I want to share with you some of the reasons why I believe that it's important. First, a communications manual gets everyone on your team on the same page. So when you create or update a policy or process, your comms manual is a central place for people to stay up to date and informed. One of the last things that you want to be doing is running individual trainings with each of your coworkers every time they engage with your department. And if there's ever confusion, you already have the answer clearly written down for continual reference. As a side note, if you don't already have this, I would highly recommend making sure that your manual, as well as your other highly public, needing to be accessed all of the time documents, are digitally available for everyone by either putting it on your Google Drive if you use G Suite or Gmail or whatever shared storage solution your church has. Make sure that this manual is on it and make sure people know where to find it. Secondly, a communications manual answers questions without you having to answer them. Now, if you've gotten married or had a baby recently or any major life event, you know that feeling when someone asks you the exact same question 30 different ways, 179 different times. You kind of wish you could just like pull out a note card with the answer every time because it's always the same. Well, that same kind of thing happens as a communications director. And I think you know the questions that I'm talking about. Sometimes, no matter how much we say, share, and remind, there are always the same questions asked over and over and over again. Well, your comms manual acts as that note card. Save yourself the time and help your staff resource themselves with your manual. Whenever they ask you questions, refer them to the manual, and eventually they'll get the hang of, hey, before I go bug so-and-so, I might already have the answer to this right here in front of me. And also remember, as you implement this and other things, processes and changes are hard. So it's unreasonable of us as leaders to expect every fellow staff member to remember the ins and outs of our job or our department. And if you're implementing anything new, whether that's as a whether that's like a communications request form or a new design standard or creating a new team, like a photography team, this manual can serve as your foundation. So every time you implement something new, you can put it in the manual and it will help remind people what that process looks like. It is so helpful when it comes to change management. Thirdly, a communications manual creates accountability. So listen, this is great news. You don't have to be the bad guy. When you have an agreed upon process or strategy with the leadership of your church, and then you put it in writing, it relieves all of the pressure that you might get when people want to fudge the rules or skip certain steps or cut corners. Guys, it's in the manual. This is the process. And you can even say to your team, now, if they don't like it or if there's something that doesn't seem to be working really well, you can even say to them, like, if it proves to not work over a period of time in a majority of ways, then we'll change it. But for now, give it a chance, follow the process, allow us to see what this looks like, and allow the manual to take the brunt of the negative feedback that you might have about whatever that process is, because change is hard. Every time you make a change, every time you implement something new, there will always be complaining. Always. Just come to expect it. But your communications manual can help defer some of that for you. Okay, so now let's talk about what should be in your communications manual. Well, this could look different for everyone and for every church, but here are a few things that I think it absolutely has to have. It has to have info about your branding. So this includes your logo and how to use it, your church name, how to say it, spell it, shorten it, a hex code for your colors, the fonts you use, etc. And this is important not necessarily because people are going to be creating graphics, but it casts a vision about what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how much thought you put into the designs that you make. It helps people see and understand that there's more to it than just throwing some words on a picture and calling it a day. It communicates to the rest of your staff that what you're doing is intentional and thought through, and that there is a right and a wrong way to produce content. It also needs to include your voice. So describe your tone, like what's your language. If there's certain words or phrases or taglines that you use, include those and talk about the why. If you've created a persona, talk about it in here. Like, help people understand the research and the work that's not only gone into the content of this manual, but the content of your church. Allow them to see, like I said before, all of the thought that goes into what you do. Another thing that it needs to include is external communication processes. So who handles press releases? Who handles public inquiries? Like if a staff member is approached by the press, what's the protocol? The last thing that you want is having to change the narrative that someone accidentally created because either they weren't thinking or there wasn't a process in place, so they just went ahead and acted. Think about like what your future needs might be and make sure that you have processes in place for them. You also want to make sure to include a social media policy for your staff. So there's going to be an upcoming podcast about why this is important to have, but I'll just say for now that this is important and it's difficult. I had someone tell me once when I got hired for a job that the devil is looking to steal, kill, and destroy. So let's not make it easy on him. And that is so important when it comes to our social media accounts with our staff. Like the enemy is prowling around to steal some words from scripture and looking for ways to take down staff members and churches. And man, we have to be protective of what we say, when we say it, and how we say it. Even more so like now than ever because of our social media. And so creating a social media policy, again, allows you to preemptively think about what your needs might be in the future, to write the narrative and be intentional about it now so that you don't have to try to change the narrative in the future. We need to always remember that when we comment, post, or share, and we need to make sure that that is communicated clearly with our staff. You want to make sure to include also a promotions process. So if someone has an event or a class or something to promote, lay out exactly how to do it. So this would look like including something like your communications request form. And remember, now that it's in writing, you can reference it and uphold the process. In that promotions process, you can create like a tier of promotions. And man, this should be something we can dive into later too. A tier of promotions that says, hey, if your event reaches X amount of people, you get A, B, C. And if your event reaches Y amount of people, you get A, B, C, D, E, et cetera, et cetera. And again, allow the process to be the bad guy. You're doing X class that is for a niche market that's going to reach 30 people. No, you don't get a Facebook post and an Instagram post and an announcement slide and a bulletin insert and a postcard. Like it doesn't work that way, because you need to reduce the chaos, reduce the noise. That's your job as a communications director, and your promotions process and a tier for what each event gets will help you to do that. And Kim Meyer has said one of my favorite quotes of all time: everything that we do is important. everything is important, but not everything is appropriate for all church consumption. So let your promotions process and your tier be the bad guy. Get it approved with your leadership. Put it in your comms manual. Reference it. Everyone will know, hey, when I create an event, this is what I'm going to get. It's awesome. Now, the last thing I would say that is imperative to include is the caveat that while everything is important, like I just said, not everything is appropriate for public consumption. Thank you, Kim Meyer. So there may be times where you have to decline a project due to time restrictions, because something that you also have in there is what they can expect. I need a 4-week notice for graphics, a 6-week notice for videos. And if they submit a request that I need tomorrow, hey, it's in the manual. I need 4 weeks. I'll see what I can do, but I might not be able to get to it because I have people who have planned and prepared and submitted requests on time that are due tomorrow as well. Let your comms manual be the bad guy. And also let them know that you have to consider the audience before the preferences of the staff member. Now, every staff member is excited about what they do. It's their job to be excited. Of course they are. But your priority is the audience, not the staff member's feelings. And your comms manual defines that and communicates it. Now, I always encourage people to fight for what they want. Like, you believe that your event deserves to be on the website landing page, a main stage announcement, a handout, 7 social media posts. Tell me, fight for it. Like, that's your job. It's my job to determine if you're right. We will both mess this up, but let's mess this up together. That way we can learn together. But I also wanted to be clear as the communications director that I am the best person to communicate this. Let me do what I do best so that you can do what only you can do. That's called stewardship. Don't spend an hour making a graphic that I have to ask you to pull when I, or if you're lucky enough to have an art department, can create it in 15 minutes that's more on brand and more effective. Right? So we can put all of that in our comms manual. Again, let it be the bad guy. Okay. All right. So now that I'm off my little soapbox, all that to say that a comms manual can be your best friend, especially if you're trying to change culture. Now, please, 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 please do not hesitate to reach out to us via our Instagram. We would love to see you on there Sunday to Sunday, or our Facebook group. If you're not already joined, please join it and we can chat on there. If you have any questions or want an example of what this could look like for your church, tag me on either of those places, and I would love to see and hear from you there and learn from what you're doing. Have a wonderful day, and we will see you next time.